tread the couch on a whim. A little fluffy crazy cat who don't play nice with the kids. You're a danger floof. Ah, but I'll keep it safe for you, poop. You're an unnatural beast with natural litter under your feet, yeah. At least in your box it's safe. No more dust all over the place. Everybody without clay, say meow.
World's best cat litter for the world's best cat.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J-Clone 1234.
Beep, beep, boop, boop, pop, pop. And today, we're going to talk about big birds.
Big bird?
Yes.
Sesame Street?
Yes.
Really?
He's a 6'3" golden canary.
That's big
bird. He's 6 years old.
Wow.
Been 6 years old for about 55 years.
Well, you know, bird ears are different.
Bird ears are different.
Well, in his dimension.
Yeah.
If you didn't catch that lore. Sesame Street.
Remember, have you ever seen other versions of Big Bird from other countries?
No.
There's a whole video on it on YouTube because it's like Gordo is one from, I
Spain?
Think, South America.
Maybe or South it is. America.
Maybe it's Spain.
Well, isn't Gordo like big or fat in Spanish?
Yeah.
I remember that in seventh grade.
Yeah, big, you know. Anyways, it looks terrifying, but he's very loved by the children of whatever country he's from.
Hmm.
He's green, but it looks like he has mean eyes. They're all different colors, but they're all cousins.
It's a different phenotype.
There you go, a different phenotype, different canary. But before we get rocking and rolling into the big bird debacle, I think I got a new review. I got to pull up the phone to read.
I like big bird debacle, though. That's pretty good.
Live shows. We have several live shows coming up. This Wednesday's episode is all about the live shows in the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. So you'll get tons and tons of information on like what they are, where to get tickets, and all that stuff. They're coming up. Their one in April is coming up fast, so if you want a ticket, get on it.
That's our live show with Drunken Cryptids, Matthew Orton, and I always say it wrong. It's not Little Rock.
North Little Rock.
North Little Rock. Old Bart's.
Old Bart's. All right. From Bodie, the MMO guy, says, all the right pieces. Justin and Jay combine all the right pieces to make the show flow. The show is a standard flow, and it works well in every episode. These are great dudes, and if you ever get to meet them, they'll invite you in with open arms. I met them at Crypticon. My wife and I are big fans. Keep up the great work, guys.
Ah, well, thank you.
Thank you.
What was his name? Odie?
Sorry.
Is that what you said?
I already minused it.
Oh, my bad.
Brody. The MMO guy.
Okay. The MMO.
I think it's a type of video game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. The MMO guy.
Which is, I don't.
Brody. Well, thank you, Brody. I really appreciate it.
All right. Next, it's a live show. We have Frogman's coming up first weekend of March. 2-day event. Want to come meet us? Want to come get a book? Want to come get a t-shirt? Whatever.
Come get a book. Just come get a book. You know you've been listening. You know you want it. Just about time. Just finally get it. See what all the hubbub's about.
But yeah, we'll be at Frogman Fest as vendors. Come hang out. Sorry, you got me distracted. Come hang out. We always do hangouts after in the evening. We'll probably do one Friday and one Saturday night because it's a 2-day event now.
That's true, yeah.
So it'll, you know, probably be at the Monkey Bar, which is a local place there in Loveland, Ohio. Staying with my in-laws. We're staying with my in-laws. It's going to be a fun time. Frogman's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hometown Legend stuff. The closing date is coming for that. If you have a Hometown Legend, I don't care if it's cryptid, paranormal, a weird building, anything like that that you would want to send it in, because I started to work on that project, and it is getting monstrous. Thanks to you guys.
And bigger. And bigger.
They, yeah. So if you want to send that stuff, send it to CryptidCorn.com, or sorry, CryptidCornPodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to CryptidCorn.com and submit it through there. Another thing, take your kids fishing, take them outdoors. If you want it, guys who want to join or support, go to the Future Anglers of Indian Lake on the Facebook page. You can sign your kids up there. They do fishing. They do all kinds of outdoor activities. We just did the ice safety seminar and ice fishing with them a couple weeks ago as of recording this. The group that runs it are super amazing. If you want to support them, there's links below.
Yes, get out and go fishing.
Yeah, take your kids out in the woods. Ready?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about really big birds.
Really big birds. Really big.
Really big. Kind of Thunderbird-esque, just the massive flying birds here seen in North America again.
Okay.
Conrad, a longtime listener, had sent in an episode idea, and that's the whole thing we're basing off of. So we'll talk about some big bird sightings, and we'll go into some things.
Okay. I like things.
October of 2002, there was reports of an Alaskan monster begin making the rounds in a number of major media outlets. While no monsters of, you know, it wasn't like a monster with a silver screen, depictions of the creature nonetheless sounded like as if it belonged in Jurassic Park. To this day, the identity of the massive flying monster remains a mystery. The village of Torkek, I think is how it's pronounced, Torkek, and Manakuakek.
South American, huh?
No.
It's not? Where's it from?
Alaska.
Oh, Alaska. Oh, the other side. Okay. Native Alaskan language you're talking. Okay.
Torkek is the only one I'm a little more confident in my pronunciation.
You're fairly sure on?
The other one I'm not very confident on. Located a little more than 30 miles apart, the southern shores of Alaska and the east of the Bering Sea. For centuries, legends of giant monsters have been made from this part of the world. Most of them are being Sasquatch and other Pacific Northwest beings. This one had a different occurrence. In October 2002, was seemingly the stuff of legend involving multiple eyewitnesses observed a massive flying creature, too large to be seen as any known species existing today.
Hmm.
Reports first appeared in the Anchorage Daily News about a massive bird described as being the size of a small airplane, which was seen over the aforementioned villages. Residents in the region estimated the bird's wingspan to be around 14 feet to 15 feet in length.
That's pretty big.
Now,
like a small biplane.
Yeah. So we always talk about that it's really hard for people to judge, especially in the air and stuff like that. Alaska may be a little different because the sheer number of bush planes that are being used.
Oh, okay.
Water hoppers, puddle jumpers, those kind of planes, you know, small two-person to six-person planes. So Alaskans get to see a lot of planes they know the size of flying in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have a little bit better judge of actual size in the air.
Okay.
I don't know if that's actually true, but I think when we talk about like Air Force pilots are able to judge, like that's one person when they say, yeah, it was at 1,300 feet. They probably actually know it is right around 1,300 feet because they've spent their career
doing that. Yeah.
So according to a 43-year-old Moose Kuachek, a native Alaskan, Moose's first name, one of the principal eyewitnesses, at first, I thought it was one of the old-time otter planes. Instead of continuing towards me, it banked left, and that's when I noticed it wasn't a plane. Reports continued outlets in Alaska. Speaking with ornithologists, found little skepticism about the sightings, though the size estimates seemed impossible. Phil Schaefer, cited as the federal raptor specialist located in Juneau, said that he hadn't been any kind of bird that large that has been alive since the last 100,000 years.
Okay.
So the guy, this bird skeptic, this bird specialist they call in, says that he believes that people are seeing this massive bird over these two towns.
Just hasn't been alive.
He doesn't think it's that big. He thinks he's a believer that they're mis-IDing the size of the bird. Yes, they are seeing a large bird. No, it is not 14 feet wide.
Right.
At the time, Moose's observations had been concerning enough about the monstrous bird that he radioed ahead to the nearby village. alerting officers of what he had seen, and advising children to be kept indoors. So Moose had feared enough about the size of the animal that he went ahead and radioed ahead to the village and said, hey, put animals, kids inside. There's a really, really big bird coming.
Could swoop them up.
Moose's sighting hadn't been the only observation of this massive bird, though. Shortly afterwards, a man named John, a pilot who was flying his plane in southern Alaska, said that he and the group of others in his plane with him had also saw the creature while they were in the air. The bird is huge. He's huge. Really, really, really big, he said. Reports of the 2002. He and his company said this observed the creature for approximate distance of 1,000 feet, noting that it's heard similar reports beforehand, doubting the sizes of the creature. I wouldn't have my children out there, John said, echoing Moose's earlier concerns about the apparent monster. So this is the first little thing we're going to get into. This is a quote-unquote flap, of monstrous bird sightings.
I've seen you looking for the button.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's not up and ready. Yeah.
So this is a flap of monstrous bird sightings over this town. There's dozens and dozens of reports. And so much so, like this is a synopsis of the story, so much so that they called in the federal raptor specialist.
Right, yeah.
And they were looking, there's people actually looking for this bird in, what did I say, 2002?
Yeah.
And they never, a bunch of people said they'd seen it. A bunch of people said that they had observed it as very large. So keep in mind, this is a place where small otter planes, puddle jumpers are commonly used. And North America's three biggest raptors are all found there, which okay. We'll talk about later in the episode.
Okay.
So the witnesses or should be accustomed. The bald eagles are like crows up there.
Common.
Yeah, you ever seen the videos of like Alaskan boats are in villages and stuff and they're going through trash?
And the bald eagles are all hovering around it?
No, they're just, there's like five or six bald eagles in a trash can.
Okay, yeah. Ain't that nuts?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, they didn't have DET or DET or whatever it was. DDT? DDT, yeah.
What, the
pesticide?
Yeah, right, yep. That's it. Up in northern Minnesota, they're just as, the bald eagles are just, there's so many. It's
less,
awesome.
That's farmland.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they almost went extinct in the lower 48. Is because, I think it was Monsanto, one of the horrible companies.
Yeah. DuPont.
Yeah, DuPont. I mean, they're all the same. Had put that as a pesticide, and it, what it happened is it caused eggshells to be weaker. Hmm. For a smaller species of birds, it really didn't matter. For heavy species of birds, they were breaking their own eggs trying to sit on
them. Yeah, makes sense, yeah.
I mean, you've never fed an ostrich egg, but like a goose egg or even a turkey egg, their shells are so thick.
Yeah.
Because the birds are really big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got to sit on them, you know, to keep warm.
They got
to
be a little rigid.
I mean, even duck eggs are a lot thicker than chicken eggs.
Those I've noticed, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, quail eggs are like paper.
Yeah, they are.
The quail are the size of your hand.
But they're also, they have that film too. That's a lot harder to get off than like regular eggs do. My opinion.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, this is the whole sighting of this creature. So what do you think of this first flap in Alaska?
Well, first thing that popped to my mind was, being that far north, are there many thermal vents to ride upon up there?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's different. It's different than the lower 48 when we're talking about the, So, thermal vents are from the ocean.
Right.
They push up. There are wind elevators, like, around the Rockies in Appalachia.
Correct.
In the lower, we talk about.
That can push air up and life up.
Yeah. So, there is the Bering Sea and stuff like that. It has a big highway over it.
Yeah.
What?
I just put that down, then you fidgeted, grabbed it.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing I was just doing. No, do it. I don't care.
No, I don't want to do it.
Oh, okay.
I took it so you would stop popping it.
Oh, could you hear it?
Yes.
No way.
Well, listeners will know.
No, if you heard me popping a bubble wrap, let me know. No, that's the first thing I thought of was being thermal vent riders or something, you know, big, an albatross. But do the albatross live up there?
They do. They do not look like this creature.
Okay, fair enough.
Albatross are very large. Yeah, so albatross. So this is much more described as a large raptor. So more eagle-y shaped, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Albatrosses are massive elongated seagulls.
Right.
Or gull-shaped.
Which you can identify, even like not amateur, but someone that doesn't know.
Well, there's the great albatross is the one that's famous, the absolutely massive one. There's other albatross species like black-footed albatross and stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, those are the ones that are endangered, right?
Yeah, they'll all be dead in the next 10 years.
We just talked about that on, is that Freaky Fauna?
I don't know.
Last week.
Black-footed albatrosses will all be dead in the next 10 years.
Oh.
They will be gone.
Just, you know, Say your prayers now and
I mean, it's
say your goodbyes.
It's a species that will no longer be here in 10 years.
Dang.
Like 100%. There's even if we completely.
Thanks, turn, DuPont.
I mean, that's plastics.
Thanks. Who would that be?
All of us.
Or I guess a collective marathon. Culture. Marathon.
I mean, it's a collective culture that values plastic. As a culture, we value cheap and fast versus
convenience,
sustainability, and health.
Yeah. And did we as people know we've been indoctrinated and forced into that over generations? Oh, sorry.
Wrong show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Albatrosses are big. It's nice as an albatross. But yeah. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch in 2014 near Janet, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So 12 years later, we're jumping from Alaska to Pennsylvania.
I'm just kind of hopping around with really big bird sightings.
Okay.
I really wanted Conrad put this together and some of this stuff, and I really wanted to do an episode about it. Because we talked about Thunderbirds. We talked about like the Indiana, Illinois ones where the kids are getting picked up and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Condors got blamed, even though a lot of times the birds didn't look like condors.
Okay.
Condors are they're huge. They are huge, and they do carry chunks of meat back to their nesting sites.
Mm-hmm.
They're generally speaking very shy, and they're generally speaking
scavengers.
They're scavengers, but they look very distinct. They have a bald head, a big bald neck.
Okay.
You know, compared to an eagle or, you know, any kind of raptor, a feathered head, a short round beak.
Is a buzzard a condor?
So, no.
Okay.
They're not. More that family. They're not raptors either. So, buzzards, vultures, and condors are scavengers that are more closely related to like gulls. So like seagulls and stuff like that. Raptors are their own group.
Okay.
All right. So this is from Phantom and Monsters. This is a report sent into them near Janet, Pennsylvania. One afternoon, March 25th, 2014, a young man was taking a walk near Janet, PA, when he happened to look up in the sky. The sky was quite cloudy and at the time, and the witness noticed what appeared to be a small aircraft moving towards the east. As he continued to watch what he thought was a Piper Cub, which is a type of plane, he realized that it seemed to be moving too fast for a small aircraft. That is when he focused on what he was startled to see, what the thing had wings that turned up at the end.
Hmm.
The man realized the dark colored object he was seeing was not a small airplane, but in fact a huge bird. As he watched, it glided towards the west, brushing the clouds at times. He never saw it flap its wings. It was so difficult to judge the altitude of the creature. The witness estimated the best he could, the wingspan being around 15 feet across. The man wanted to get a better look at him, so he ran into his house to grab a pair of binoculars. But when he returned, the bird continued to glide away so quickly that it moved out of sight. He never got a chance to get his binoculars. Another one from a similar area. It was 2002. In Indiana County, Pennsylvania, just a little bit farther away.
Mm.
The witness was driving through rural Indiana County, Pennsylvania. That's when he noticed something in the sky that attracted his attention. At a distance, he first thought it was a low-flying plane. That's when he noticed the wings were flapping very slowly.
Mm.
He soon realized that he was watching the largest bird he had ever seen. The gigantic bird was dark brown in color. He also could see a broad circular tail. The witness, who was very familiar with birds in the state, had said such, seen such birds as ingrets, herons, cranes, and eagles. This wingspan dwarfed any eagle. He estimated the huge bird had been longer than 12 feet. He watched the bird fly over the wooded area until it was lost from sight. The man stated that he was in state of slight disbelief. He estimated the total sighting must have only lasted about 20 seconds.
Hmm.
He also noted the number of power lines close to the area of observation. Location of sighting was in the mile and a half of the Homer City Power Station, the Homer City Power Station, Lon Strickler from Phantom and Monsters, had documented a ton of these giant bird sightings / UFO sightings.
Mm,
and he talked about several times that it may be one
the same thing
mistaken for the other.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about a 15, 20-foot wide bird, and you just see, especially at night, right?
Oh,
You don't see birds very often at night because they're there. You just don't see them.
Uh-huh.
That it may be, in fact, massive birds.
Just last week, I was driving home from work. You just triggered this memory from me. I was driving home and it was nighttime. It was like one in the morning or two in the morning, somewhere in there. I just got off and I'm driving down, what was it? County Road. Oh gosh. Is that 20? Yeah. 20 where the church is. And I was driving down that road back home and, I seen like just like up in front of my car, but up in the air, like, I don't know, 20, 30 feet off the road, this bird. And I never got a good sight at it because I could just see little glimpses of it. It was black, but it was swirling around, like flapping violently, just on the edge of where my headlights could see above me. And it was weird. And it was one of those freezing cold nights. And so it was weird the way it looked like it was almost like attacking something flying, but it was big, not this big, not like 10, like just a bigger, like, you know, 3 foot wingspan bird, but flapping around like crazy middle of the night and what, sub-zero temperatures. Just thought it was weird.
I wonder if it had ice on its wings.
Oh, maybe.
And try and get them off. I know there's birds will actually crash from that stuff.
Oh, I didn't think about that. It could have, yeah, maybe.
They went through a wet patch and then froze.
I just...
it's like a plane, right? They're very aerodynamic. They're designed a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I mean, it could be attacking. It could be hunting rabbits, too, and trying to pick up a rabbit.
It was weird. Because I drove under it. It was literally right above the road. I drove under it, and my lights caught it. Like little, because it was like swirling around, but flapping violently. And I wanted to turn around and see if I could see it again, but I just kept going home. But I just thought that was odd and weird with birds.
But yeah, there's been a ton of Thunderbird sightings, mm-hmm. or whatever these massive birds are.
Mm-hmm.
North American legends have been surrounding these guys forever.
Oh, yeah.
But all the way from Alaska. Alaska, they're very common. I believe Monster Quest did an episode about this particular, the first case we talked about. But during the big flap of like, I think it was probably Small Town Monsters. They did their flying menagerie like episode.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana and Illinois had a ton of them, of these just absolutely massive birds. We talked about it in our like living pterosaurs episode too, that maybe some of these things are pterosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, so far, what do you think? A big part of this episode is going to be talking about the possibilities of what these things are.
Well, with modern ones today, or relatively modern, 2000, when was that last one? 2014.
Yeah. I mean, I just picked a couple because we've done so many of them. I'm kind of lumping, including the past ones together too.
Yeah. I'm just curious though, with modern ones, with people, if some of these mistaken identity could be like drone technology that's emulating biology.
Well, maybe now.
Now, well, I'm just saying now it's being revealed. Like now we know publicly they are doing that. But, you know, 10 years ago, I'm sure they've already had it developing. You know, I'm sure they've already been working on it. And what are the odds are somebody caught a test flight for one of these? Or, you know, you see multiple in like the same location, not multiple, but multiple sightings over a course of time in the same location, though. If it is test flights and things like that, just being an option. I don't know. Massive bird. Flapping or looks like a plane, but then bang. I don't know. It just, I don't throw that option out now. Now that we know that they are creating crafts that emulate living technology or living creatures as technology.
100%. We'll be back. We're going to do an ad break a little early because we're going to do a bunch of other stuff. You ready?
Yeah. Welcome to the latest episode of Cooking with JClone77. And today I'm joined by a special guest, the Veggie Man. Say hello, Veggie Man. So you've got a special treat for us today. You're going to be cooking a new veggie dish, a vegan dish for us today. And what do you got on the menu? Ooh, artichoke asparagus spread, eh? Now, I don't particularly like this, but I'm going to go on a limb and give it a try. Oh my goodness. It's delicious. What's the secret ingredient?
Sticking.
Flavors of the forest Bigfoot breath? Raw garlic dust? Wow. They freeze dry the highest quality of ingredients raw to capture the flavor you won't find in stores? Wow. Thank you, Veggie Man. I'm going to add this to my kitchen. That's Bigfoot breath by Flavors of the Forest. You can get yours at flavorsforest.com, and you can cook flavorsforest.com/corn, and you can cook just like the Veggie Man.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words. When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
The dumbest ads.
I know, the best and well thought out in advance.
Yeah, they're both statements are true, I guess. All right, so let's talk about some really big birds. So I've already mentioned the condor in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that sticks out with me about the condor, condors are huge. Depending on which source you're looking at, California condors and Andean condors, 10 to 12 feet wingspans, absolute monsters. The problem with condors being any of these sightings is for about the last 50, 60 years, there's like 8 condors left.
Mm, okay. So they're on the outs?
They're actually coming back. We talked about that recently.
Oh.
That there's a group out there that's basically breeding condors in captivity and releasing them into the wild. I think they are like doing 8 a year or something like that.
That's nice.
I think they're, I may be off, but I think there's like 300 or Californian condors left.
Mm.
And I think we put 200 of them in.
Nice.
It's not a good number.
They're coming back.
That's not a comeback.
Yeah.
We got to see if the ones that they, because we don't know any data about the ones they've raised, if they're going to survive.
If they actually can make it.
And how they're going to, and how they're going to reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
Because condors need some pretty, pretty stable
conditions
for their, like their parents put in a lot of work.
Mm, gotcha. Okay.
And teach them a lot. But yeah, so we're going to talk about big raptors. So the first and most common on this list. Bald eagles.
Yep.
And that's the most common out of the three we're going to really talk about till we get to some more cryptid things.
Okay.
How big do you think a bald eagle gets? And this varies across the country.
Like wingspan or height or both?
All of it.
I think they're about like 2 feet tall, 2.5 feet tall, maybe. About 2 feet wide. Same thing, 2.5.
Their wingspan?
Maybe the wingspan's a little wider.
The wingspan's always a lot bigger.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe like 3 to 4 feet wingspan.
Okay. In most areas, you know, for smaller eagles... you're probably right. And bald eagles actually belong to the sea eagle group.
Oh, okay.
Even though a lot of times they're not found any
near the
found
sea
in water. But if bald eagles have an inherent ability for fishing and that kind of stuff. Mm.
Is that why that one hangs out by Hog Creek?
The game club, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, all that.
There's fish in there.
Well, in the game club pond, yeah.
No, there's fish in Hog Creek.
Oh, I know, but...
Carp are still fish.
The carp are big.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And they're shallow, so it's easier for them to see.
Right, yeah.
No, so bald eagles, or sea eagles, are commonly occur along rivers and lakes. They can be found pretty much anywhere in the country, though. Adult males are around 36 inches tall, and their wingspan is about 6.5 feet. Adult females, which grow somewhat larger than the males, are 43 inches tall and have a wingspan of up to 8 feet.
Dang, okay.
So they're still pretty big.
That's pretty big. That's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, and we... And then, like I said, it varies depending on, like, that's a big adult.
Yeah.
Location and food sources could be, I know a lot of places in the U.S. have a lot smaller eagles now, a lot smaller bald eagles in general.
Mm-hmm.
Even adults, like, that are reproducing, are a lot smaller. Both sexes are dark brown. They're not actually black. They're dark brown. And with white heads and tails, they are not actually bald, quote unquote. The name derives from the conception of their appearance of the white feathered head.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually get this over time.
Right. They're not born with it.
Yeah. So both male and females have the white head and the white tails. They all start out as completely brown, though, and get those over time.
It's like a brownish-grayish color. Like
what? The brown?
Like they're them growing up. The young
yeah,
ones.
Yeah. They're, I mean...
It's a weird, odd color.
The same color pretty much as adults.
Yeah.
But there's contrast.
It just looks weird, doesn't it?
I mean, they just look to like me, big brown raptors.
Right, yeah.
Their beaks, eyes, and feet are yellow.
Mm-hmm.
They're very yellow birds. Pretty much anything that's exposed skin is yellow. The bald eagles' nests are super-sized platforms They build on top of large isolated trees or pinnacle rocks that are located within easy flight of water. Okay. So bald eagles are very, very specific of where they put their nest.
Right.
But if you've ever seen a bald eagle nest, there's one at the Boy Scout camp in Kenton, and it's absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And then where we were at a campground not too long ago. I think it was Cowan Lake. Me and Emily, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago. They have a bald eagle's nest on the ground that, like, from an old couple that had fallen or something like that.
That you can, like, see?
You can get it.
Yeah.
And it fits, like, 4 or 5 people pretty comfortably. It's, like, the size... it's, like, a big hot tub.
Yeah.
And it's deep like a hot tub, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
But they're big birds. So when we start talking about these big bird cryptids, bald eagles get thrown around a lot because they're most common. This is the one I would throw out. First off, they are... The people of Alaska know what a bald eagle is.
Right.
The people of Pennsylvania know what a bald eagle is. Bald eagles are very notable.
It's the national bird.
Now, juvenile bald eagles, you could say is something else, but they're smaller. Yeah.
Right, right.
They're, you know, they're still big, but they're not 8 foot across.
I mean, you could have that outlier where it reaches full maturity, but like doubles the size of full maturity of the biggest one and never gets its white tail or white head.
I mean, that could happen.
Yeah, it could happen, you know. There's these things happen. These things happen in nature.
I just have a little fun fact for you. Bald eagles, their natural enemy is the osprey because they occupy the same niche.
Okay.
Bald eagles on a 1-on-1 fight, the eagle will win. That's why osprey stay closer together. They both animals mate for life. Okay. Osprey normally always hunt together because of bald eagles. Because they will win.
Yeah.
I was in Illinois when they released a rehabilitated bald eagle.
Yeah.
And they did no research, whoever did the release or where they scheduled to do the release, because they didn't, like, a public park. There's a pair of osprey that live in the public park.
Oh, no.
And they released it. The eagle got up and immediately got its wings broken by the pair of osprey.
Oh, no.
And then they went in the water and got it out. Now he's an animal ambassador.
Okay.
Because his wing was broken twice.
I guess that's a good thing, right? Not that it got broken, but he's an ambassador now. That's a good thing, I think. I hope. I hope they're feeding him well.
I mean, he's an eagle.
Poor little guy.
These guys have had their populations decimated. They aren't, like I said, DDT. 1972 DDT was banned in the United States because it was not only destroying animals, it was destroying humans too. It's highly carcinogenic, and they were spraying it on the food.
Oh my gosh.
So before the ban, there was only 450 nesting pairs of bald eagles left in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
By the 2000s, the population increased to 6,300 nesting pairs.
That's good.
And they were officially removed off the U.S.'s federal list of endangered and threatened species.
Hey, all right.
So they've bounced back well enough that we think that they're going to get back to their level.
That's kind of crazy, though. You think, we stop dumping, spraying chemicals and everything.
And they stop dying.
And things come back.
It's, yeah.
Wow. It's almost like things are meant to be that way. Not covered in chemicals. Huh.
Alaska also had a bounty on bald eagles for a long time.
That seems like they're not allowed to do that anymore.
No, so from 1917 to 1952, bald eagle bounty hunters killed well over 100,000 bald eagles in the state of Alaska.
Oh, no. Why? Why are they? Why?
First, to protect the salmon fishery.
Okay. Because
bald eagles eat the salmon that live there because they were both there first.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the people wanted the salmon. So you kill the other thing. That's why they started killing sperm whales in Cape Cod for the same reason.
Jeez.
Because they're like, oh, the cod disappeared. It must be the whales.
Yeah, that don't eat cod.
They will. They're just not great at catching a cod. I mean, a sperm whale's massive.
Right, yeah.
Cod, I mean, a big cod is like 3 foot long. So but they were eating them off their long lines because they were sitting there.
Mm.
But no, it wasn't. It wasn't because the cod, or it wasn't because the sperm whales or the bald eagles. It was the... Thousands and thousands. This episode's all over the rails already. But the Chinook salmon fishery in Alaska, I highly suggest everybody look up the releasing day videos of it. Guys kill themselves in this every year.
What do you mean?
So they're little boats putting out gill nets because, like, opening day for the season.
Oh, so the fish...
And they run into each other. Like, these little... not little boats. They're, like, 100-foot-long boats. Ramming each other full speed, just throwing the net out the back and hoping they get their net in before everybody else. And there's, like... It looks like bumper boats. I just watched a guy that almost died because his hydraulic arm broke off from another boat strike, swung and knocked him into a different boat.
That's craziness.
So it's, salmon.
Competitive.
Very, it's very competitive. All right. So what do you think for the bald eagle for a culprit of these giant bird sightings?
I mean, just I don't think it's an option. For one reason alone, we have that bald eagle, like we were just saying, lives right a couple miles from here.
I mean, during the ice fishing, there's a bald eagle that flew around.
Yeah, true.
I mean, during the ice fishing seminar we just did, a bald eagle showed up, flew over a couple times and left.
That one that lives right by me, I caught it the one day. It was flying, doing the figure eight patterns over the woods over my house and, you know, looking for whatever. But I immediately look up. I could see it was a bald eagle, and it was up really high. And when they're up that high, they don't look that big. Like, they just don't look like, oh, my gosh, that's a massive bird. I have zero thought of that. So when I think of these, I wouldn't think it's a bald eagle. And that's just me. I'm like, very amateur at this stuff, bird watching. Ralph, you get it. I'm an amateur.
In bald eagles, they have a much more developed home range. So the only time you really see them in transitional varieties is when it's juveniles being pushed off from their parents finally.
Okay.
Because sometimes they spend 5-6 years with their parents or in their parents' territory.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only time you really see them like transitional, like going from one area to another for just a couple days.
Yeah.
Is when that happens, and that's smaller ones. Normally, like you said, the ones that I know where the three nests are in our county. Because everybody knows where the three nests are in our county. Because first off, they're massive, and you see eagles are at them.
Right, yeah.
And they set up a territory and they live there,
And they come back every year.
I mean, they don't
for the most part.
Most time they don't leave.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, they don't migrate most of the time. The next guy we're going to talk about is highly migratory, a little bit bigger, and a little bit more mysterious. The golden eagle,
My friend.
And almost everybody that sees a golden eagle is seeing a juvenile bald eagle. And calling it a gold eagle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I got to look up a picture of a golden eagle. I guess see him again.
The biggest difference is, and I'll help you out, everybody, they're brown. They're that black-brown color of bald eagles through the whole body. So that golden, dark brown. They have a brown or a black beak.
Ooh, okay.
So bald eagles, even the juveniles, have a golden beak.
Yep.
A yellow beak. Gold eagles have a brown beak.
Man, they're so pretty.
They're envious of, like, predators. So they have dark hackle feathers, which is on their neck, yellow cretes, the gray or black beak, full feathered legs, large yellow feet, great talons. Their wingspan, most on the average, is around 8 feet.
Dang.
So an average golden eagle is the size of a very, very large bald eagle.
Yeah.
And then they get up to 9.5 feet.
Are these the birds, like when people train?
There are falconries with golden eagles. Okay. It's much rarer, but that you can actually look at pictures of this.
That was one of them that popped
pretty up. Pretty much all of these sea eagles are going to be like that.
Okay.
So this is the national bird of Mexico. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either, but it's on the flag and it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it is, ain't it?
Yeah.
Holding the snake in the, it's that bird, right?
Yeah, on the cactus.
Yeah. Is it a snake and something else it's holding?
No, it's fighting a snake on fighting a cactus. Fighting a snake,
okay.
Yeah, it's the national bird of Mexico.
Didn't know that.
I just find it funny because the national bird of the U.S. is the bald eagle.
Right, and they got the golden eagle.
Yeah, they got the bigger one. All right, so let's talk about these guys. They're highly migratory. The golden eagle ranges from central Mexico along the Pacific coast, the Rocky Mountains, as far north as Alaska, all the way over to Newfoundland. Small numbers range to the Appalachian Mountains, as well as north, or all the way down to North Carolina. Pretty much gold eagles are federally protected throughout the entire United States. But special permits for shooting eagles are issued in areas where the birds are believed to kill lambs out west.
Hmm.
These are also the birds you see throwing like goats off mountains and killing deer.
Yep.
Golden eagles hunt whitetail and mule deer.
Yep. I've seen the one where it grabbed that deer basically and drug it off and dropped it off the side of that mountain. It's nuts.
This is one of the few birds that'll actually stand toe-to-toe with the next one on the list.
Uh-oh.
And there's a really cool video of those two animals fighting.
Fighting?
Yeah. So these guys, highly migratory. They're always moving around. So let's talk about some golden eagle stuff. So a little bigger. So like I said, a really big one, we're going to talk about that, 9.5 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little taller. So they stand on that like 40 to 45 inches tall. So they're getting a small person sized.
Yeah.
So they're just like, they're pretty much, imagine the average golden eagle adult is the size of some of the biggest bald eagles ever.
Right.
That's the kind of size comparison. And their freaks are just a little bigger. So they move all the time. They have territories where they visit every year for maybe a couple weeks at a time. So this is a much better fit when we're talking about these flaps of sightings, or like the one in Alaska was talking about. For 2 weeks, it was there, and then it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So Golden Eagles, the one we got to meet in Tennessee, had a tracker on it.
Oh, nice.
He would spend 2 weeks in Alaska. He would actually come down through Canada, hang out in Newfoundland for like a month. Then he'd come down to Tennessee and hang out there for a week. And then he'd go down out west and start the circle again.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So then that's what he would do. So he had areas he really enjoyed hunting.
Mm-hmm.
In areas he really enjoyed hunting that he didn't want to spend a lot of time over hunting them.
Was it like a seasonal pattern?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was just going off of prey abundancy and stuff like that. When I worked with a fish hatchery here in Ohio, every year it was a muskie fish hatchery. They come out and they run about a foot long. Every year, this golden eagle had memorized when the muskie would be putting the runs.
Wow. And he'd show up?
And he'd show up, and you couldn't do anything about him. You could shoot the herons, you couldn't mess with him. And the problem with it is he was so big, he looked like a guy.
Standing out there.
He looked like a guy in a brown coat standing in the fishing runs.
Waiting for him.
But the muskie were getting hand-fed. So they'd see a guy.
And they come
instead
over.
Instead of swimming away from, they'd come over.
Wow.
So he'd just sit there and he'd eat for about a week or two. He'd eat thousands of muskie, I feel like.
Wow.
And then once the muskie got wise to me, he'd leave because it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah. Or it's too much work.
Yeah. So that's, it's just this whole thing where they're very seasonal, very big.
Smart.
Yeah. The estimation of the population of golden eagles in the world, because we share a world population, is 160,000.
That's not that many, really.
80,000 of them reside here in North America. Around 18,000 of them are in Europe. Roughly 900 in the United Kingdom. Almost all the ones in the United Kingdom reside in Scotland.
Mm.
The species occurs as far as Northwest Africa, but is more common in higher altitudes and eastwards across Russia, including Siberia, the Asian Minor, Iran, Pakistan, China, and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes one animal will go across the whole northern hemisphere.
That's crazy.
They're constantly on the move. They're highly, they can be kind of aggressive towards other birds of prey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some accounts of maybe these guys attacking biplanes.
Ah.
Because they kind of get aggressive towards other birds of prey.
Yeah.
And they recognize the smaller planes
as
birds. So they're like, oh, I'm going to try to rip out your feathers.
It's just a shame all them windmills are destroying them all.
I don't know about golden eagles. There's...
I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, bald eagles.
And goldens.
Anyways, what do you think about this one being our giant bird culprit?
Maybe could be mistaken at some point. I could see it. Big, big, giant bird.
Next one. Stellar sea eagles.
Yeah. It's been a while since we talked about them.
Now, these guys got a little bit more white on them. Not as much as a bald eagle, but a lot more than a golden eagle. Which should be called a brown eagle. These guys are weird with where they reside. So we'll talk about that because it's just, they kind of pop up everywhere, even though they have a home range. So they're known as the Pacific sea eagle or the white shouldered sea eagle. And they have a big white streak on their shoulder.
Okay.
They are birds of prey from the same family of sea eagles. They were first described by Peter Simon in 1811. No subspecies are recognized. They are sturdy eagles. So these guys are
They weren't discovered by Stellar?
Formally described.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. He was the one that put the...
Stellar wrote all kinds of animals in those books as he was going. We've talked about Stellar a lot.
Yeah.
So a Stellar biologist came back through and sat down with a bunch of dead ones and formally wrote the physical description.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of different stuff.
Okay.
Like Steve Irwin discovered the species of turtle.
Right.
A biologist came back later and wrote the fullest description of the animal.
Okay.
No subspecies recognized. They have white wings and tail, yellow beaks, yellow talons. Typically, they're the heaviest eagle in the world.
Okay.
So while they may not be as tall as some of the other eagle species, they are much more stockily built, up to 22 pounds. But in some standard measurements, they are ranked below harpy eagles, which is another massive animal that's the monkey eater. They will kill, harpy eagles could kill us still. But Stellar sea eagles females are well bigger than the males. The Stellar sea eagle is endemic to the coast of northern Asia, where they live in Russia, Korea, Japan, China, and Taiwan. They mainly prey upon fish and water birds. The Kamchatka Peninsula in far east Russia is known for the relatively large population of these birds, where about 4,000 of these eagles live there. Stellar sea eagles are listed as vulnerable, and the red list is vulnerable, and or sorry, their red list is a threatened. America recognizes him as vulnerable.
Hmm.
Now these guys pop up everywhere. They're super weird. They're like they pretty much just live in the Stellar Sea area in big populations. They just had one, I think, in Baltimore last year.
Wow. Okay.
Wrong ocean.
Yeah.
A continent and a half away.
Yeah.
They're massive. Their wingspan is going to be that 8 to 9 feet as well, but they're much more stockier birds. They're like twice to three times as heavy as golden eagles.
Wow. Okay.
Because they fly much longer distances. They glide a lot further. These guys are roamers. There's not a ton on them because they're hard to study. They just kind of pop up wherever. You got any questions? They're really heavy. That's just a big thing with them.
Yeah, that's their biggest factor. They're freaky.
Yeah, they're a little over
fauna quality.
3 to 3.5 feet tall. Okay. Most of them are going to be shorter. Like, you know, that's a big one.
So they're just slightly bigger than a golden eagle.
Yeah, there's not a lot of carcasses to really measure wingspans.
Mm-hmm.
8.5 is a lot of where wing cords measurements of accurate. There's been some 8.5, some 9'2", 9', 8'10" is some of the bigger ones.
Wingspan?
Yeah, that have been accurately measured.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that they even get a little bigger than that.
Dang, yeah, that's a big bird.
So 9.5, they may rival the same wingspan as golden eagles. They're just a lot heavier than them.
Huh.
So what, you think this could be what people are seeing?
I mean, if I'm going to include golden eagles, yeah, I almost have to include these guys a little bit. But still, both of them are still relatively too small to be mistaken for something giant, you know, plane-sized in the sky, in my opinion.
So let me tell you this. It's none of them. None of these eagles are
being
mistaken for the giant eagles of North America.
I figured.
So what Conrad had sent me was an animal I'd never heard about. And the man that described this cryptid, you'll recognize his name pretty quick.
Is his name Daryl Sims?
No.
Okay.
This was 18-something, 1814, I think.
Well, he's been around.
1814. No, you'll recognize his name when you hear it. But we're going to talk about Washington's eagle.
George?
It's named after George Washington. He's not the one that... In February of 1814, on a trip up the Mississippi River, famous American naturalist and artist, John James Audubon...
Ah.
Namesake of the Audubon Society... The bird people,
right,
laid eyes upon a bird that he had never seen before. This was not unusual for Audubon, where he had or would later identify at least 25 new species of bird during his lifetime. But this made the bird unique that was only ever been verifiedly seen 4 times.
Ooh, okay, so very rare.
Audubon and a Canadian fur trapper were making their way up the Mississippi when an unidentified raptor flew overhead. The fur trader was the first to sight it and shouted out to Audubon to take notice. Audubon watched the bird fly around for a few minutes. He took a lot of notes, and it resembled an immature bald eagle. But he was not entirely sure that that was the correct assumption. So he's like, it looked pretty similar to a bald eagle, a juvenile bald eagle, but it's not. There's something off about it. It's not quite right. The fur trader informed Audubon that these large birds have been sighted by other trappers and hunters in the Great Lakes region before, but they were extremely rare. They were occasionally known to follow hunters to scavenge off whatever they left behind from their kills, but were also known for diving into the Great Lakes to grab fish with their beaks. Very different than bald eagles.
Yes.
They grab it with their talons.
Mm-hmm.
After hearing these distinctive traits about the unknown bird, he realized that they did not fit any behaviors of either the bald eagle or the golden eagle. Audubon was very familiar with these two species. That's a big thing to remember. This is the bird guy.
Right. The bird guy.
Yeah.
So, like Ralph's mentor.
I mean, yeah, anybody that's super into birding, you use an Audubon guide.
Right.
Like, it is Audubon.
Am I picking on Ralph too much?
Yeah, well, that's okay. He likes it.
Okay, good.
Audubon believed that this giant eagle overhead was a completely new and undiscovered species. A few years later, Audubon again sighted the eagle in Kentucky. I was visiting a friend. While walking on the trails, the bird flew over a small enclosure and landed low on a tree branch. To prove that the bird did in fact exist, Audubon took aim with his gun and slowly approached the bird and took a shot. This is how science was done in the 1800s.
You shoot it and pick it apart.
The bird fell to the ground, and he then retrieved it and studied it. Both Audubon and his friends noted the corpse they examined looked nothing like any other large bird that had been found in the area or they had ever seen.
Nice. They just killed the last one.
Well, no, so that's literally how they did this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Especially in like the 1800s.
Yeah, you put some lead in it.
Huh?
You put some lead in it and then you dissect it.
So I want to make it very, very clear. Audubon had done this to bald eagles and golden eagles probably by the hundreds at this point. He was very convinced this was neither.
Yes.
I just want to make that very clear.
That's important, yes.
So the large, they examined it, and other colleagues that would later on help him form, like, after he, you know, would form, like, societies like the Audubon Society. Mm-hmm. Other biologists that were studying birds all confirmed that, well, that's not either of those.
Right.
Audubon then gave the eagle a scientific name, Falco Washingtoni, in honor of America's first president, George Washington.
Okay.
Because he said it was a big, noble bird. Audubon explained the reason he had named the eagle after the President Washington. He was brave, so was the eagle. Like it, too. He was the terror of his foes. His fame is extending pole to pole, resembled the majestic soaring of the mightiest of the feathered tribe. If America has reason to be proud of her Washington, so let her be proud of her great eagle.
Nice.
Washington's eagle was described as standing between 3.5 feet to 4 feet tall and having a wingspan of 10.5 feet. So this dwarfs the bald eagle and the golden eagle.
Definitely, yeah.
Its feathers were all brown and resembled the superficial, there we go, outward appearance of an immature bald eagle, meaning it lacked any white on its head mm-hmm. or its tails. So when the cure of the beak, so the soft spot on the upper part of the beak, the canines and nostrils, did not resemble any known version of bald eagle or golden eagle seen. So it had a unique nostril arrangement with some birds, like peregrine falcons have a cone in theirs.
They do, yeah.
So this nostril was completely different. And there's some drawings and paintings of what he's talking about in this. Not resemble any known species or any known version of the golden or bald eagle. The scaling of the lower legs is uniform and has a pattern not seen in any other species, too.
Okay.
So they break this down very scientifically when they're talking about these birds in comparison to species.
Both important features, I guess, need to take note of.
Washington's eagle is reported to build ground nests on rock cliffs near the water and wooded areas. Bald eagles build them high treetops. Golden eagles kind of do the similar thing to bald eagles. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stop there for a second.
So Washington's eagle.
Because I got more for this, as it goes back and forth with after Audubon dies.
Okay.
So the one he found was the one that they were writing the size on.
Right, okay.
10.5 foot wingspan.
That's big.
That's really big. I mean, we're up there with condors and albatrosses.
Right, yeah.
The last true giant flying animals.
For an eagle.
Well bigger than any golden eagle, bald eagle, or Steller sea eagle. So Steller sea eagle, he didn't bring up either times because the white on them. They completely look different.
Right, yep.
The only two eagles that kind of look like were the goldens and the balds. But very much like a juvenile bald eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think so far?
Well, it's pretty interesting that there is a bigger wingspan to the eagle out there. And this is in
14.
Okay, so we're looking 200 years ago.
He had seen him 4 times.
Oh, okay.
So, and then he got one.
So it wasn't just him.
No, and other people had seen him with him. And when he described this one, there were other people there.
I mean, I guess, yes. He alone seen it 4 times.
Yes.
So that's pretty significant. It wasn't a one-off thing.
And we'll go into his theory about the Washington Eagle and what happened to them.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming they just were either outcompeted or, one thing or another. I don't know. I'm not too sure. It could be not DDT yet.
So pretty much when it first came out, Washington's Eagle was accepted as a legitimate new species. But as time passed, many naturalists, in my opinion, trying to make a name for themselves, started accusing it of being not true. Lack of sightings, lack of more specimens, lack of corpses. Scientists at the accused Audubon of taking super sloppy measurements of his shot specimen, as well as overestimating the physical dimensions between the birds and other species.
Yes, so they're going to question that, yet they're going to write this whole entire field guide based off his work.
Yes.
Something's
the other 25 species never had any kind of questioning like this.
Uh-huh.
Because they found other ones after.
Right.
So this is the lie that they said, you know.
Yeah, of course.
It's like Steller. Same thing happened to Steller when we talked about his journey. That every other animal he had talked about
was real.
And everybody's like, yeah. And then he's talking to the Steller sea ape in the middle and he didn't even care about it. It was in the middle. And he's just like, yeah, there's an aquatic baboon looking creature.
Nope.
Liar.
But okay, let's continue. Because it's in very similar veins.
Yes.
Student Washington Eagle was described in consensus among scientists that that the bird was nothing more than a misidentified bald eagle or a hoax that he did for publicity.
Oh, silly. What a silly guy, you know. A very serious guy.
The accusations that the non-existence of the Washington Eagle did not appear to be consistent with the did not appear to take into consideration that Audubon made his life's work on documenting and categorizing many species of birds as scientifically and accurately as possible, mm-hmm. that his measurements and guides and illustrations are still being used today, almost 200 years later.
Liar. He's a liar.
He very well knew the difference between bald eagles and golden eagles. He kept extremely thorough and detailed notes in his diaries and his species guides of every species he encountered. He was well aware of a mature bald eagle starting off brown and then maturing with the black heads, you know, or the white heads and all that. Mm-hmm. As well as the time they painted accurate life-size portraits of these birds he encountered. He was the artist. Most of the Audubon paintings you see,
he painted.
Audubon did himself.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's really cool.
It's just crazy. He discovered 25 new species by himself and well over 100 with his colleagues in the field.
Yeah, but this one's probably a lie.
Yeah, so.
It seems like someone like that would sneak something like that in there just for a goof.
I got a little bit more and then it's just crazy to me. It just is. Let's talk about Audubon's thoughts on this.
Okay.
The one he thought he killed and got a specimen of, he thought was a juvenile.
Interesting.
He said it felt like it had similar traits what he would see across the sea eagles. For a juvenile.
Yeah.
So he felt that it was a juvenile. Wow. It may have been a very large juvenile. You don't know. So you know, there's not a lot of information besides what I just read on this because 200 years old and Audubon took notes and pretty much all of them, they have been thrown out.
Right.
So.
He's just a hoaxer at this point.
What he believed is their maximum could have been between 12 and 14 feet wingspans, mm-hmm. up there with condors. Mm-hmm. He thinks they had a very similar breeding style to condors, where they picked these giant rock outcrops. He believed they were very low in numbers. They were very rare animals to even begin with, because he had only seen three or four in his entire life. There's a chance the four sightings he had may have been the same animal.
That could be.
So he felt like they were very, very rare animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the adults were even rarer. So that was a lot of Audubon's feelings on the Washington's eagle.
Right, yeah. I can't believe they just are writing this off because they can't. Oh, we can't find one, so it must not be true.
I got to say, there's no great place to find information about the Washington's eagle.
Mm-hmm.
I got all that from Adam Benedict, the Pine Barrens Institute. He did an amazing article on it, well-researched. So thank you, Adam. Buy Adam's books.
Ain't it kind of crazy, though, how someone like this accomplished and well-renowned can have a
200 years. The society is still named after him.
Exactly.
He's the bird guy.
And something like this is just something that's erased from history, basically.
100%.
If it weren't for, you know, someone like you digging into it and finding
Conrad.
It.
Conrad. I never knew this.
Oh, Conrad.
Conrad did it.
Conrad did it. Thank you, Conrad.
He just sent me this. I can't find any information. And I found a little bit more than he gave me, but not. Well, not much, but
still, it's not like readily available knowledge and that he found or stumbled across. He found, you know, I'm guessing it's just by happenstance. It's not like he just went on there. What's the giant, biggest eagle bird that could have existed in the U.S. that has been sighted and is documented? It's not like he's just has that thought randomly pop in his head. You know, he stumbled across this, which is awesome. And here we are. It's a rabbit hole, a string to be pulled. And why do things like this in history just get like written over or erased?
Yeah, so like you said, I'll read it again. Audubon said basically, it appeared that they were already somewhat rare due to few sightings. Mm-hmm. Assumed the population and their number was already very low. So there's a chance that in the last 200 years it went extinct.
Mm-hmm.
Or that there's just, I don't know, you know, bald eagles live to be 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
So there may be just four or five breeding pairs left.
They're that low. Yeah.
They're that low that you just every once in a great while, one comes through a town.
Functionally extinct. Yeah. Yeah.
But the size of it is, they didn't know at the time. We had birds in North America called pterotaurans,
mm-hmm.
a whole different family of megabirds, got 20 feet wingspans.
Gosh.
They would eat kids. Like if they were around the same time,
yeah,
they would 100% eat kids.
Yeah,
like that would be nothing to them.
So wait, if he's thinking this Washington thing, the one he had his specimen could have been a juvenile, and it was 10 and a half feet.
Yeah, so he, like I said, Heath put the adult estimate between 12 and 14 feet.
Wouldn't you think it would be even bigger if it was that one was a juvenile?
I'm not a bird specialist.
I guess you're right. I'm gonna take his word for it. Yeah,
I'm gonna. I'll default to Audubon. They're still using his measurements and his diagrams to this day. It's ridiculous to me.
That's just because they haven't found like a lackey.
Toady. That's his Washington's eagle.
Oh, it's really pretty. He's a good artist.
Oh yeah, he was a great artist, and that's his painting he did because all of his species he did a painting of,
mm-hmm.
and we're hanging up in his like his society.
That's really neat. We should do that with animals we discover.
Yeah, whenever it happens,
Iowa darters. But
they did the same thing. We didn't discover that.
You did.
No, they did the same thing with, you know, on a lesser known level. Troutman is the father of ichthyology for the world. He's from Ohio.
Fish?
Yeah.
Yes.
A fish. His riffle, the Scyota mad tom, he discovered.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered it. He found, I think it was 13 of them one winter.
Scyota mad tom catfish.
Yes, the little tiny miniature catfish. And then he believes that was the last of them. They went extinct.
Mm.
They're all pickled. I've held one.
Yeah.
So then that was the 40s or 30s. I don't even know when Troutman was alive anymore. I don't remember.
They never been found that riffle again?
No, they're gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
To where people accused him of picking up a hybrid catfish or him falsifying stuff. And they did the same thing they did to Audubon.
Mm-hmm.
Troutman, he's the father of ichthyology for the world.
Mm-hmm.
For the world.
Ah, liar.
But it's just the one thing.
Hoax.
And it's because, and I think it's what some of these people do, and they pick on one thing because it makes their name.
Yeah.
So these ornithologists that picked on this thing because never another specimen was never found.
Right. Now they get
they can get the word that, I disproved Audubon. I disproved Troutman.
Right. Put my name in the history books.
But, yeah, you never did it with another one.
Yeah. It's selfish, it sounds like.
And he never really published, like, he talked about it as much as he talked about any other species he
right,
found.
Right, yeah.
But he never, like, it wasn't like this big, like, look at this monster.
He didn't go out and write a book on it and then profit off
it. The body was somewhere because he like would store or preserve some of these bodies.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's got feathers.
The body was somewhere.
I'm sure there's feathers tucked away.
Oh yeah.
Somewhere. Someone's got them.
I don't know. So what do you think of this one?
The Washington's?
Yeah. Washington's eagle.
That's very interesting. Man, if
the Birdman said that there was the fourth American giant eagle that existed, that he had seen several juveniles.
I believe him. I do wonder about the numbers. I wonder if they're still here. I imagine if they are, they're
low.
So low. Yeah, like functionally extinct. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's what I would imagine too.
Yeah.
I'd like to hope that they're still out there, but I can almost guarantee, just from his encounter with one, they're probably staying away from humans. At this point,
don't blame him.
Because what did he do?
Well, he shot one, yeah.
Just shot it and started picking it.
I mean, we don't even know if the DDM, or what was it, DDT?
Yeah.
DDT. We don't even know if the DDT may have put the final nail in him.
Oh, very well could have. I mean,
lived to be 50 or 60 years old,
if they lived,
that's four generations in 200 years.
Yeah, if they made it to modern times, yes, our chemicals definitely ended their existence.
But Alaska still has, every once in a while, these sightings of these absolutely massive eagles.
True.
So I wonder if, like, the bald eagles, where they hold up.
Where would you go?
Where the golden eagles hold up?
Where would you go where there's less people?
Well, that's, even if it's that, it's where people didn't make it to in as high a numbers and there's no farming.
Yeah.
So it's just the last holdout. Then there's a whole part of Canada, like the Yukon.
Oh, yeah.
They may breed up there, and the ones we're seeing every once in a while, maybe that juvenile,
they got pushed
out of the nest and is looking for a territory.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't find one, maybe goes back up to Canada.
Right, yeah.
Doesn't find a suitable amount of food.
Because, you know, Canadians won't shoot them. Hey.
Well, there's more parts of Canada that don't have a lot of people.
Big bird up there, eh?
It carries off a Canadian.
Yeah. Well, see you later. This is it for me.
Well, Conrad, thank you for this episode idea. I've had it on the list for a while. You sent it to me a while ago.
Washington's eagle.
I wish I could find more. There's just not a lot. I mean, Audubon didn't care. I don't mean he didn't care. He didn't treat it special.
Right, because he was just doing his job.
Yeah.
Documenting birds.
Yeah, so, I mean, he wrote a little bit in his journals, like we read, and he wrote a little bit for the Audubon Society, and then the most of it comes from people saying, it's just crazy.
I wonder if there's anyone, like, any of our listeners or stuff have any local, like, folklore of anything or any documentation of this that, you know, it's stored locally that they might know about, you know, plaque somewhere, anything, any information at all.
So Adam Benedict goes in to talk more about the same connection we made this episode about the giant eagle sightings.
Okay.
Could just be these, you know, the shaky images of this, the Washington's eagle. He coined it the Bigfoot of the skies.
Hmm.
Because it's, you just see him for a couple seconds. There's a big flash of him. You don't really get a good look at him.
Yeah.
You know, Audubon got to shoot one. And people have probably shot him and said these were giant eagles. I mean, people have talked about giant eagles in the West and, you know.
Remember Daryl Sims? I mentioned him earlier.
Yeah, yes, yes.
So he was down in Texas. He told us that story when he was.
I think he shared it on the podcast too.
Did he? Okay.
I think he did. But yeah, so seeing. Well,
maybe it's something worth revisiting if you're listening. Go back to listen to our two episodes with Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. But he had an encounter in Texas. And I can't remember if was he a kid at the time or he was an adult? I can't remember. I feel like he was an adult for this one. But he had seen that giant bird. And what he described, it was, if I remember, like 4 to 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Standing like.
A super-sized eagle.
Human-sized, like,
yeah.
Birds, but and standing on the ground. I forget what it was around.
A bridge, a train trestle.
Okay.
Because it was underneath in the shade.
Yeah.
Because it looked like a guy moving around in the shadow.
And then when we got closer, it was a bird.
It was a massive bird.
Yeah.
Which makes sense to the Texas heat.
Yeah,
There's not much shelter.
Yeah.
A train trestle over, you know, a river, water and shade.
So what if he had an encounter with a Washington's eagle?
I think Washington's eagle is still out there. I think they're very low. I think that they may be much more similar to stuff like golden eagles with population maybe shared around the globe.
And they could be sensitive to, like...
everything.
Right, like our electronics and things like that.
I mean, prey would be a big thing. Prey, an animal of that size would need much larger prey.
Yes, for sure.
Golden eagles are kind of that transitional species
in between.
That. Because they're still eating fish and carrion and other things like bald eagles, but they're taking on small deer.
Goats and deer.
Goats and lambs and sheep and stuff
Leopards
like that.
Leopards and...
I don't know about other predators.
Small humans.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past a golden eagle. That right. Bald eagle picked one up. I showed you the video of that three
kid.
Gold.
Yeah,
scary. Dropped him 20 feet.
Scary.
The Washington's eagle would be, I think, big enough to make the transition to much more eating... quadrupeds, eating deer, you know, that's probably the biggest part of their diet.
Yeah.
So they need that population and they need hunting ground.
Mm.
So like harpy eagles, they're huge, but they have tiny wings. They have this really short wingspan for their size class because they hunt in the jungles.
Right.
They can't have the big wide wings.
Right. It won't work.
So they can't fly very far. So their populations are very, very limited because they deal with being in the forest.
Right.
An animal with these massive wings would need open areas to hunt.
This would cover mountains. Vast amounts of area. Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of them are, probably up in the mountains, you know, the Rockies, they go up into Canada and stuff like that. The last of them.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Conrad.
Yeah. Thank you. This was awesome.
I've been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
I've been J Clone 1234.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.